afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
Awesome. So this week I am talking to a guest who is an author yet again. And I'm going to try and say the name here because she's from Japan and it's Natsune, correct?
Yes, you said
Perfect. I got it right. I even rehearsed it a couple times before I hit record and she's like, you got it. But I still just wasn't confident, I guess, when I was just going for it. So welcome into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today. I was very excited, looking forward to this podcast today.
Yeah, and you know, I did a lot of kind of like reviewing of your book online and everything. So I'm really excited to kind of just dive right into that with you. But before we do, we had a little bit of a conversation before we hit record and everything about how I'm really curious to kind of hear like what your stance is on like what you've seen in cultural differences. Mm-hmm. But so I want to cover that today too, but let's go back to the book. Cause I know you said that kind of has a big part of that in within the book and everything. So the book mm-hmm. is called The Game of Self-Domination, 15 Practical Steps of Self-Mastery and Achieving Anything mm-hmm. You Want. Yes. Talk to me about what people can expect from the book if they were to pick that up.
Yeah, well, so my book is not filled with lots of opinions. It's filled with a lot of inspirational stories, academic studies, and practical exercises. I also included in chapter 9, I also included this 4 very interesting concepts. One of them come from Italian engineer who made this like a formula for productivity. And then another one is from David Ricardo, who is a British economist, who had this theory about international trading. And then the other two comes from corporate strategies that companies use to create efficiency and effectiveness in their planning, right? And basically, things like this, I include like a very tangible, essence, very tangible strategies that people can actually use into their life planning. But also, like I said, it's also filled with a lot of inspirational stories that really challenges your belief in terms of what you think human beings are capable of right now. But then like, look at all these people's stories, like, humans are very, very strong. And we should always remember that by looking at this, like, you know, stories of possibilities. And that's kind of my core message. And that's what people can expect from my book.
So
is it enough?
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. Where did the idea for the book come from? Because, you know, you talk about these formulas that you included as well as the inspirational stories. So where does all of that come from to get into one book for people?
Yeah, well, I've been using this matrix for a while now. Actually, so concluding from these 4 interesting concepts that I just mentioned, I actually developed my own concept, which is modeled by a method that was used by a historical US president. I forgot what the number was. I think it was something like 37th or 42nd US president. So he was using this matrix to decide what kind of tasks should have priority in his day, right? Because he has so much tasks. So he was using this matrix, and then I kind of took that and then also mixed in the 4 concepts that I just introduced. And then I basically came up with my own matrix. I'm calling it as a life up method. And I've been sort of using that to organize my life, and it was very helpful. And I also kind of taught that matrix for some people, and I got a feedback and they were like, you should really teach this to people. So that was kind of the reason I I wrote this book.
Who is this book for? Like, who is your target audience while you're writing this book?
Yeah, well, really, like, this is not necessarily smart of me. But when I was writing, like, I really wanted to help people. That was all I had in my mind. And I didn't necessarily plan it as, like, a business perspective, you know what I mean? So I kind of jumped in to plan on the business aspect of it as I was finishing it, you know? But initially, that being said, initially I made this concept like widely available for people who just want to have some motivation and boost in life and also some organization in life. And that being said, organization as in like self-awareness, people who need to discover who they are can also highly benefit from my book.
And so I know that this book has been seen on Fox News and Market Watch and the Daily Herald, just to name a few. While I was looking at your website, I'd seen those on there. I was also kind of looking at the about the author section, where it had kind of talked about how you've helped dozens of CEOs and young startup founders skyrocket their success, all while doing your own online business on the side and everything. But it didn't start out that way when you were younger, because you actually got kicked out of high school, it says, while you were in Japan. What? Tell me that story.
Yeah, of course. So actually, I wasn't exactly kicked out at that point. Very fortunately, right? But I do have to say that I was born and raised in Japan, right? And this experience was very different from growing up in America, right? And what is so different about being born and raised in Japan, Japanese education system specifically, is that in our education system, critical thinking or logical thinking is not taught. We're programmed to sink into the system, right? System of convenience of the society. That's how I would describe it. So the way the government or the way school structure these classes are not opinion based at all. Like, they just teach you something and you have to remember it as an answer. And there's always right or wrong thing, right? Like, it's never about self-expression. It's never about individual opinion. It's all about group opinion. It's all about right or wrong in the society. Like, that's the kind of stance the education system takes. And in that sense, I always had opinion. I always had my own curiosity. I always had my opinion. Like, one time I remember I had this like very touching experience where I was playing with my friends outside. I was like a little girl, like, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 years old, right? And then this guy, he was probably like 19 or 18 years old, but he had a mental illness. So he was, in the psychology, he was probably around like 4 or 5 years old, right? And then he just wanted to hang out with us. He just wanted to hang out with other kids. But then on the look from the outside, he looked so much bigger than us for us, like 5 or 6 years old, right? So we were like very scared. Like, we thought like, oh my God, he's so creepy, blah, blah, blah. But then I developed my own thinking, right? Like, all my friends were just freaking out, crying, and just, you know, fear for life. Like, that kind of intimate, you know, they were very intimidated by it. But then I, on the other hand, decided that I wanted to write an essay about it. And I wanted to read it in front of the class, right? Like, that was the kind of curiosity, or that was kind of the person I was from the beginning. But then next day I would bring in my paper that I took like 2 hours, 3 hours to finish about this, you know, about this boy. And I would turn it in to my teacher, but then teacher would never read that. You know what I mean? Like, teacher wouldn't present that. So, you know, like, there were some times where I was that kid who always wanted to present something, or who always had the opinion to express, but then it was never appreciated. So that being said, growing up, I was just so confused. Like the more different you are from the society, from the system, the more outlier you are from the average. Like you're this, like, you know, you're labeled as losers, basically. So I was on my way to become a loser. So up until high school, I always thought of me as a loser. I always thought of me that was what the society was telling me, that, you know, because I was different, because I had my opinion and everything, like I was so inconvenient, like, you know, like my existence in that education system was such an inconvenient factor. You know what I mean?
Right. You just kind of felt like another person who was just there because you had to be, basically.
Say one more time, I'm sorry.
It was almost like you're just there because you had to be. Like there is no like gray area. It's black and white. Like you either agree with us or you don't agree with us, but you can't give your opinion, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's even worse because if you have any like a slightly different opinion than the right opinion, which is like what the majority agrees, you're a loser, really. Like literally, they make you so uncomfortable for having that opinion. So what happened was I was so confused and I started hanging out with more mature people. Like, you know, I wanted to be adults so much because, you know, adults people can do whatever the fuck they want. So I started hanging out with those adult people and also like some, you know, bad-ish kids. And then I started like, you know, just, you know, doing all this bad shit. And then I was just so lost in my, you know, this frustration of like wanting to be myself. But then whenever I was myself, I was called a loser. So I didn't know how to express that. So I basically became like a huge troublemaker. And then in my high school, like to the point they were just my parents and everybody sort of like said, look, like we can't, it was actually one of my very emotional time of my life because that was the one moment where I always thought of my mom, for example, as my best friend, but she even told me like, look, you can't live here anymore. Like if you're going to behave like that, like I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Like, that sort of extreme.
Yeah.
So it was very emotional and it was still very frustrating because if I had to be a part of the society, be a part of the system, then I would just lie to myself, but that's going to make my mom happier. That's going to make my parents happier. So I was just in this, you know, place. I was just stuck in this place where I just didn't know what to do. So, you know, always I had this urge that I had to get out of the country because I knew that this country wasn't for me. So that was the beginning of my journey, moving out of the country. And yeah. So
well, and I was going to ask you that, what was the motivating factor? Like, what is it that really kept you going? Because you very could have easily given up at a young age and said, you know what, I'm going to go with the majority and I'm just not going to have my own opinions. But you decided to still, despite what everyone else was going to think, you still wanted to have your own opinion and everything. What was that motivating factor for you to just kind of like keep going and keep driving to be who you wanted to be?
Right. I think I really hate to lie to myself. It's probably one of the biggest thing about me is that I'm so authentic to myself. I can't fake who I am like at all the time. Well, I could probably like for a few months, but then after that, I'm just going to go like, you know. So what happened was during the high school, like actually I made my teacher so confused because I looked like, you know, this punk kid, like who were like I just looked so different from all the other kids, right? Because all the other kids were like, you know, all this like nerds and geeks and whatever, because I went to like a good school. That was my destination. But then I, you know, over here, I was looking crazy, like honestly, you know, wearing lots of makeups or whatever. And, you know, I was self-expressing. And then I made the teacher so confused because even though I looked the craziest out of all the classrooms, I always read books like all time. I wasn't even listening to lecture or anything. Like I probably read the most books out of anybody I knew at that point. So I was reading like one book every day, almost like something like this. So, you know, my teachers were very confused because I behave on one side, I behave this like a crazy kid who was just like so bad. But then on the other hand, whenever they see us, I'm just reading my book. You know what I mean? So it was very like, I guess I wouldn't say weird, but it was very unique, right? So I always, at some level, I always knew that I wasn't a loser. I always knew that I was just a unique kid because I couldn't belong to like a good kid, you know, who likes to lead and doesn't do anything else. But then I also couldn't exactly belong to the bad kids, for example, because I only knew that I'm just different. And even though I was confused of my identity, like where should I belong, blah, blah, like I always knew that I have very unique characteristic because I couldn't fit into anywhere. So that was small, you know, portion of me, that was small part of me that always encouraged me, that always sort of gave me the power of wanting to like, you know, stand up on my ground. And even though the situations look kind of chaotic, I just had to believe that part of me because, or else I couldn't live, you know what I mean? Or else I wouldn't have any hope. So I had to look at my, I guess, light side, right? I had to find my light and try to grab onto it. And that was the story I had. I thought I was unique. So that really encouraged me.
And then when you came to the States, did you go to university right away?
Yes, I did. I also had to study a little bit of language because I literally did not speak any English. I didn't study at all, like in high school, like I said. I was like reading my books. So even if they did have these English classes, I just really wasn't listening. So, you know, I was also working at the time because I had to make money for myself. And then I saved up and then I went to America and I took priority. I can't remember how long, but it took me for a while, like 6 months or something, just having to study like English.
Yeah, and well, and I have heard that English is one of the hardest languages to learn because of the fact that there's so many different weird like grammatical and phonetics type of stuff to learn just because it's such a weird language in a way. So I have heard that before.
Right.
When you came to university and you started taking those classes, what was that experience like for you? Because you grew up all these years of this, like we talked about earlier, like this black and white, like there's a right answer and there's a wrong answer. But now you're in university where you can have your opinion and it's okay to have those conversations and everything. So what was that shift like for you?
I mean, honestly, it was amazing. It was really great. Like that was a concept that never existed. From my knowledge, right? Like growing up in Japan, I never had anything like that before. So I finally felt like I was in the right place. I could have my opinion. I could speak up. But then also something that I learned at that time for the first time, right? I think this is one of the big thing that I learned, I think, going to America from Japan, is that until you experience culture outside of your country, you really don't know who you are. Because like I said, I always thought I'm opinionated kid. Like I always thought I'm a full of opinion. I have, you know, but then when I went to America, something that I noticed was that my head was predicated on the idea that things always have right or wrong answer. So I always felt like I could not do this, but I could do this. I might sound wrong if I say this. I might, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that was very unhealthy. But I think the American education system really took a lot of weight off of that. Now you can be sort of gray zone, so to speak. And yeah, so when I first experienced that, it was great experience. I really felt like I was coming home. Yeah.
So how did you get the opportunity to work with entrepreneurs and everything in the Seattle area and kind of throughout the United States?
Yeah. So when I was still younger, I was very like hyper, right? Like I just couldn't stay still. And then one of the things that triggered my interest was entrepreneurship. And I think I had always been entrepreneurial ever since I was like very younger. Like in high school, for example, a lot of people were getting part times at this like a fast food restaurant or whatever. But I always like made my own way to make money. Like I just could not work for other people at that time. And then so I wanted to explore more on that. So I took some, actually, this was when I was still a student, I took some time off. I decided to take some time off, which was also another decision that I made only me, because a lot of international students from Japan I knew wouldn't take any time off. Like they were scared of going out of school, but then I did. So, and that was like the best year. What I did was I first started working with the University of Washington. They had this like a startup program, and they were like accepting startups as sort of like access later program, whatever. So I got like internship sort of role there. And then I was working and I was doing some marketing and stuff, but then I started attending like fuck tons of events around the startups. I just wanted to expand my network. So I started networking. And then I finally established, like, I don't know, I met probably that year alone, I met over like 1,000 people, like just alone. Wow. And as I was creating more and more opportunity for myself, I eventually got to work with local startup entrepreneurs. And then I was like organizing events, and I helped, for example, like investors to meet some startup owners, or the startup owners to meet investors. I was just in that space, like really helping as an organizer to like connect a lot of people to the right resources. And then the biggest event I made was called Startup Week. And I made an event that was around topic of finance, okay, like how to raise money. And then I think I collected like 3,000 people in that event or something like that. So that year I was basically working with like a lot of entrepreneurs and investors to create connections between them.
And we talked before, I think it was before we hit record, about how your book has kind of drawn upon some of your experiences within the U.S. What type of experiences in the U.S. did you kind of incorporate into the book?
So I think in that year also, I learned a lot about myself. Part of it was, like I said, like, even though I didn't necessarily knew that I was such a Japanese person, like I brought out as a Japanese, you know, communication, you know, I didn't know about that. But then I noticed that a lot of things that I did was brought out as a Japanese person. So one of the example would be when I first started working with this co-working space, which is, Do you know the concept of co-working space?
I'm a little bit familiar with it, but if you want to explain it, if people don't know.
Yeah. So co-working spaces, basically, the big company would be like WeWork. But basically what they do is they have a space for entrepreneurs to work in. So, you know, a lot of time startup entrepreneurs don't necessarily need the entire office to operate their businesses, right? So what they do instead is they go to this community and the space lender who can rent a space for rent a part of the office space so that you can exist with other entrepreneurs and you can kind of create a community around it. So I was working in one of those places. And then that was like one of my first job, like a very first one. And when I first started working there, I didn't know that, but then at the time I felt like doing something without asking, without the permission was a rude thing to do because that's the way Japan is. But then in America, you have to be dominant, right? Like you have to be the boss who would have to initiate your action to do something. And that's the way the culture is. That's the way the work, you know, culture is. But then in Japan, it's completely opposite. If you do something without asking your boss first, you're fucked, really. And then, so that was like a shift. I didn't know that. I came out as more of like a Japanese person way, you know, to do things. So that was one of the first experiences where I thought, okay, well, if I don't stand up and if I don't initiate something, if I'm sort of like submissive, I'm not as valuable here in America, right? So I have to initiate, I have to be the fucking boss and I have to do the everything from me. And that thought kind of expanded and I thought, well, otherwise, and I guess, sorry, let me share another story. Another story was, so I was still being the submissive part. I was still playing the submissive part. And then I guess my manager or whatever, like at that time, started kind of like telling me what to do, right? And then I felt like because I was playing the role of that, like a nice Japanese young lady, whatever, I felt like they were telling me how much I'm worth, like how much I'm capable or like how, what I want even. Like they were defining me. I wasn't defining who I was from me, but they were telling me from externally. And I really thought like, shit, I have to like really tell them what I can do and what I want. Otherwise they're going to tell me like what the fuck I'm going to do. Right. So I really didn't like that concept. And I actually experienced something similar when I moved to Miami, when I first got my job there. That was horrible, like just miserable job, right? And then so the first place I worked, I had this owner from Italy, and he was an Italian guy who had this company in Miami. And, you know, I was still kind of like a soft, you know, very nice Japanese lady to him. So he was like, he treated me like a shit. And then I was the only Japanese person. And all we had was either Italian, American, and Brazilian, and some other like Spanish people. So at that time, you know, I was alone and in a country where I had no connection and I didn't know nobody, no, you know, culture, nothing. And then what happened was this owner, the Italian guy, like really started taking advantage of me because I was like very nice to him, right? Like I didn't try, but I was kind of submissive to him in his eyes. And then it was just horrible, horrible experience. That experience really emphasized once again that if I don't tell him what's up, he's going to take advantage of me. So I really had to be strong that time to even protect myself, protect my own health. So that, so you asked me what the experience was like working in America, right? And then how that connects with my book.
Yeah.
So that's initially one of the experience that really triggered me to think this way, where I say, look, like we need to, you know, tell people what we deserve. We need to tell people what we want. Otherwise, your worth is defined by them.
Someone else.
Defined by them. Yeah. And then what you want even is defined by them. And then for you to do that, you need to dominate yourself first. And then you can dominate people like outside.
Where can people find this book?
Yeah. So I was getting a lot of requests about paperback pre-order because before it was available on the ebook. So I made the book available both for paperback and ebook on my website. So people can go to lifeupeducationtv.com and they can find the book tab and then they can find it there.
Perfect. And I can link this on my Facebook page and Instagram once I post the podcast and everything as well. So that people can easily find it too.
Yeah, perfect.
So what would you say? So it sounds like you learned a lot from your experience in the US and everything. But what would you say has been the most impactful moment or experience for you in your life?
That's a big question though.
It is a big question.
So one of the things I talk about toward the end of my book is that I'm just going to explain something very quickly. I'm not going to expose like everything because I really want the whole experience of like the entire book.
Yeah.
But one of the conclusions I say is happiness and success is different. And success is always in the future and success is can never be achieved because success doesn't stop where you are right now because success is an inspiration. Success is what makes you strive. Are you strived by the success from yesterday? No. You're always strived by success from tomorrow. You're always achieving for something higher. So that being said, what I want to say is that I don't necessarily look at success as a destination, but I look at success as more of a flow of emotion. And one other thing I would remember when I'm in a deathbed is going to be emotion part, right? So that being said, probably one of the most intense experience I had, the most, AKA the most intense emotion that I had, was the first time when I landed in America and decided that, like, without no money, no connection, no nothing, I just basically wanted to explore the world. Well, not the study part, but then in the actual world, and then decided to network with entrepreneurs, meet with people, learn from entrepreneurs. Like these were, you know, one of the very early, you know, young age experience, but that was like by far one of the most inspirational emotion and excitement that I had, I think.
Well, Natsune, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing so much about your book and your experiences. The last question I always ask people is whether it's something we've talked about today or maybe it's something that you haven't talked about, but what is it that you want people to take away from this podcast? What is it you want people to take away from you and your story?
About me and my story?
Yeah.
I would say that, well, we put a lot of emphasis in domination today in terms of, you know, you need to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, you know, people decide who you are. And I think that's very true. I think at all time for any kind of tough situations, if you don't invest in yourself, nobody will invest in yourself. So you have to be the one who is your own leader. You have to be the one who's your own creator. And you cannot care about whatever the fuck other people say.
Awesome. So like I said, I'll link this on the Trent Speaks Instagram and the Trent Speaks Facebook page. I'll put a link to your website so that people can take a look at the book and order a book if they'd like to. You get to do the sign off for your own podcast. So go ahead and take us out. You can sign mm-hmm. off however you want to. You can do the sign off for the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me today. I had really a lot of fun and I get to answer a lot of questions. So that was really great. A great experience for me.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.